Hello! Welcome to Marooned at Magpie's Headquarters, day 94. That's scary. I was actually looking at some of the files from when we started, like episode 10. 94! It's amazing. So, how is everybody? Let me know in the chat. Weird old day with the weather here, again. This is turning into the craziest summer ever. And when I say summer, we don't really do summer that well in the UK to start with. But it's been perishingly hot again. And then another amazing thunderstorm. Thunder, lightning, you name it, we had it. Including hailstones. Mike made the point the other day that we don't really get that many hailstones here anymore. But these were huge. And I'd made the mistake of leaving the window open, which meant they were bouncing in on the table. And I glanced over and thought, what's that? And I picked it up and it was a hailstone. Yeah, closely followed by a lot of its brethren. So obviously had to run around closing the windows at that point. Also had somebody knocking at the door. We do not do that. Not at Magpie's headquarters, thank you very much. It turned out to be all right, though, in the end. Not a particular crisis. Mike is delivering a webinar. As I heard it, it was another Excel one. I think he's finished. There he is. Hello.
Hello.
Just saying you were doing a webinar.
I was.
Yes.
Now finished.
Rained again.
I heard it.
Yes. And the dog? The second you started.
Yes, I heard it as well.
Yes. Yes.
What was her problem?
She heard that you had started, obviously. That was
she'd
a problem.
She'd been out.
I know she'd
wasn't
been
stuff
out.
Wanting to go out again.
Exactly. But yes. The thing was, she soon changed her mind when we got to the back door and the heavens opened.
Yes. So I take her out.
So she didn't need, no leave okay. Sleeping dogs
sleeping
lying.
Sleeping dogs lying.
Hello,
that, yes.
Paul. How are you doing? Yeah. She wanted to go out, and then when she saw the weather, decided that it wasn't actually the best idea she'd ever had.
I know the feeling.
Poor Lola. She would have gone out if the weather had been all right, but it's just weird. I've never known weather like this, where it's sunny, thunder, then sunny, and then more thunder.
Tell me about it.
It's bizarre. Do you think that's why Boris had a bump?
The bump.
Boris's bump.
That's a good show title.
That's just what I was thinking. Boris yeah. And the bump. Have you heard about this, Paul? There you go, if you've not. That was so funny because you were working and I knew that you wouldn't be watching the videos. And that this video came in and basically we've got a lot of people protesting. I'm not sure they know what they're protesting about anymore because we've got three factions all descending into London. It must be costing a fortune to police it, you know.
We protested.
Did we?
Yeah.
Don't remember that.
No, you weren't with me.
Oh.
It was many years before we met.
You mean in your pre-sensible years?
In junior school.
What did you protest
against? Or was it
against?
Infant school? I don't know.
You see, this is the problem.
Some of my classmates started singing, "We protest, we protest."
And you, like a sheep, just followed
them.
Yes,
I said, "What are we protesting about?" And they said, "Don't know."
God, people are stupid. This one was a guy who... Now, bearing in mind, there must have been more police there than an average police conference. But you know what the British police are like? Terribly standoffish. And he broke free from the cordons and ran in front of a motorbike with a policeman on it, who had the Prime Minister behind him in a car. So he swerved to avoid him, and I think he actually stopped. Obviously, Boris's car then had to stop, and would that the car carrying Boris security behind Boris had stopped as well. But they didn't. Not until they rear-ended his Jaguar anyway. So, normal service here in the UK. Chaotic. It's quite scary how the back end of this Jaguar just collapsed. I'd like to think cars are a little bit made a little bit sturdier than that. Because I can understand they make the bonnets collapsible these days, don't they, in case you hit somebody.
Mm.
But unless you're planning to reverse into somebody, you'd think the back would be a bit stronger because it's more likely you'll get rear-ended than anything else, which is exactly what happened to poor Boris. You could not make this up. Can you imagine how much trouble that copper's in?
Well, there's enough of them around.
No, I mean the one driving the vehicle that went into the back of him. You are supposed to keep your wits about you.
Gut and marooned.
Ah! Hello, Simon! No problem, Jonathan. We're having a laugh over Boris. Poor Boris. Mind you, it wasn't Boris's fault, was it?
No.
I don't believe he was driving. And he certainly wasn't driving the one behind. Well, that brightened my afternoon up anyway. What was so funny?
Is that Siri?
Probably. Don't wind him up. I've already had that. I put a YouTube video on. And the idiot on the YouTube video said H-E-Y-S-R-I-I. And then off he went. Could I shut him up? No. So don't set him off again.
I'm saying nothing.
No. No, you can say S-I-R-I. But you can't say anything else. No, don't giddy him. Boris can't get the staff. No, clearly not. That guy will be in much trouble, though. They do have to have an advanced driving certificate to do that job. And, you know, number one thing to think about when you're on the road, watch for the brake lights ahead of you. And I wouldn't have thought they were even going that fast, would you?
I was going to say, it didn't look like they were going at a particular speed.
No, but when you see the damage to the car, you do begin to wonder. They put me off buying a Jaguar anyway. That and the price of it.
Simon says, what's happened? Boris has been rear-ended.
Boris has been rear-ended.
Security guard.
Hasten to add, both parties were in a vehicle at the time. Because otherwise the headlines would be totally different. Boris has done nothing. Boris was in his Jaguar leaving the House of Commons. He had his security detail with him and some outriders. The outriders at the front were set upon by a protester. So they stopped, the Jaguar stopped, but the security detail in the car behind didn't stop until it had rear-ended Boris's Jaguar. That's the short version. And it was so funny because there was one protester. The footage that they've got, they have journalists there, and you can see the journalist footage in that link that I've put in. After you see the protester's footage, but the protester actually got footage of the vehicle hitting Boris's car, whereas the journos who were on the other side of the road just got the police stood in the way. So he had by far the best view. I'm wondering if they've paid for the video that they've got. But yes, poor Boris.
Simon makes a good point.
What?
That he's just glad it wasn't Prince Philip.
Haven't had it confirmed yet. It wasn't Prince Philip driving, just saying. I mean, he's 99 now. He might be looking for a part-time job. I just can't believe that, you know, you don't see the lights on the Prime Minister's Jag. And the second that you see those lights, surely you slam all on. Clearly not fast enough. Anyway, that's the entertainment for the day. Other entertainment is, I believe, the Football League's kicked off again. Premier League. I couldn't get it on my iPhone. It was bleating. So I left it be. I didn't think it was kicking off until later, but apparently it has kicked off.
There's two games.
Ah, that'll be why then.
Villa, Sheffield United.
Well, Villa and Sheffield United, all 22 players, plus the black-suited arbiters,
yeah, they took,
a knee before the game. Which is quite unusual over here, isn't it? Is this the one where they're thinking of having the Black Lives Matter thing on the shirts?
Yeah, they already have.
I don't agree with that. Well, actually, I don't not agree with it, but a couple of years ago, a couple of the teams wanted to put poppies on the shirts, and they said no. So if they're saying no to poppies, why is anything else okay?
The thing is, all lives matter.
I know that, and you know that, but apparently it's not politically correct to say so.
No.
That's what do they call it? I forget what term they use, but apparently you're not allowed to say that. But, you know, if the rule is you can't put anything on the shirts, then why can you all of a sudden put something on the shirt?
Yeah.
And the poppies matter to the rest of us. Don't get it. I did actually like the guy who had a tattoo of a poppy put on. Now, that's what I like. this was about 2-3 years ago, and a lot of people, supporters and the British Legion, wanted to put poppies on the shirts just for Armistice Day weekend. And the Premier League said no, absolutely not. And it got quite nasty, and they still said no. And there was this particular player, and he got a temporary tattoo on his arm with the years on and poppies up it. And I thought, now that is class. Loved it. But, you know, if it's OK for one thing, it should be OK for another. And if it's not OK for one thing, then it's not OK for another. But that's just me. Do we have any idea of where Prince Philip was? Just thinking now, because it was also like a Land Rover like his. Good point. Where's the water? This water's just going blindingly hot every time I touch it. Things are falling over as well.
No, shall I pick them up?
What fell over?
That box.
Oh, right. I didn't even know it was there. Couldn't even see that box. Crazy beans. Anyway, any news about WWDC? I think we've already had most of the news, haven't we?
I think we have.
Yeah. Usual response. If someone says save the rainforest, you don't think they mean but every other kind of woodland. There's always going to be an argument. I just think it kicked off so badly over the poppies. It was a case of, do you know what? Just walk away. Leave it. Because then the poppy brigade will start, and quite rightly. So, walk away. Anyway, the game's all under control now, and United are playing on Friday, aren't they?
They are.
And United have given season ticket holders, which is quite a good idea, I think, the vouchers for Now TV. So one of the games is paid for only, so it's not free to air. But United have provided 2 free vouchers to every season ticket holder, so they can claim their seat and watch the game for free. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, the reason that you can't get the game.
Go on.
I haven't paid for it.
Can't get the stuff. Then that's why I can't get it.
Do you want it?
No, I'm not that bothered. Never mind. Never mind. What can you say? Anyway, that was the excitement for today. I don't think there was anything else. It's all doom and gloom. I've given up with the news, basically. All doom and gloom. It was a Range Rover.
Patrick says, anyone signed up for the cardboard cutout or photo on the seat or whatever it is? So United, for something, I don't know how much it is, 20 quid or something, you can have a cardboard cutout made of yourself and stuck to your seat at Old Trafford.
There are no words. Shouldn't they be paying you? Oh, don't tell me it's going to charity.
Probably.
There you go.
They've done that in the Bundesliga.
Yes, well, I think that's rather silly. And no, I haven't done that. No other news apart from Hillary. Somebody's dug Hillary Clinton up. And she's all over the UK news. Yeah, we don't like that. More politics. Other than that, what's the state of play in the game?
0-0.
And have you seen the big story about the fans could return for the start of next season? I don't get that, because they've already just cancelled something. The Oscars have been cancelled, which I think are the back end of February next year. But they think football grounds are going to be open in August. Because there's no 2 metre rule there. No wonder they're...
The government have said, watch football in your own homes.
The thing is that people will turn up at football grounds.
Hancock social distancing slip caught on camera.
Ooh, what did he do?
I'll go post that.
Put that link in.
Yeah, I'll put that link in.
This is the health minister, for crying out loud. There are no words. Jonathan, Mike made a point earlier today when I was talking about that and saying it was a good idea with Now TV. And he said United have covered themselves with glory in this, and they actually have. At the very beginning, they were sending out food parcels to vulnerable people on their season ticket list. They also arranged for people who were isolated to get phone calls from either members of the current first team or a collection of old players who work for United. So people like Brian Robson and Norman Whiteside do kind of match day hospitality, and they were phoning people, especially on birthdays and stuff, but just generally like a call a week. So they have indeed covered themselves in glory, haven't they?
They have.
All the food that they had in the kiosks around the ground, they collected together the first week and took it to the food banks. And then they turned the staff, now they've got a lot of corporate hospitality staff, just cooking. They must have more kitchens you can shake a stick at. And they turned all of the production of that into making hot meals every day for the homeless, etc. So they have covered themselves in glory. It would be amazing. United will probably get a bulk discount from Now TV and they've got the PR. I actually didn't know that was coming out, so I wasn't expecting that. I can assure you, I was not expecting that. But they've done it. So it just came through in a message this morning. It said that there was only one of their games that wasn't free to air. And is that the BT Sport one? BT Sport is a swine. BT Sport expects you to pay like a premium rate for sports, but they also have like an entertainment bundle. But the entertainment bundle is the same as you would get anywhere else, so you don't want to be paying twice for it. So I don't think we've ever watched a match on BT Sport.
No.
Do you actually have to be subscribed to BT to get it?
I think there is a package where you don't, but it's not cheap. It's not like £4.99 a month.
You see, if it was, they'd get more people, so I don't know why they don't do
that. More like £20 a month.
I lived in hope that Amazon Prime would get it. Because, not particularly because I've got Amazon Prime and it wouldn't cost me anything, but they got about, was it 20, 25 matches at Christmas?
Yeah.
Something like that. But then you could watch it in a browser. You could watch it on your iOS devices. But the thing was, the quality was stunning. It was 4K. And it was literally like being there. But more than that, these matches, some of them were on at the same time. So on the odd occasion, it's at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, that kind of thing. You know, you've got three matches on. But they let you watch all three. So you've got triple monitor set up, one on each monitor. The quality was just stunning. And as I've mentioned previous, the quality on Sky is absolutely abysmal. It's nowhere near 4K to start with. But the thing is, you will lose the picture at least, I think I said 12 to 20 times a game. Easy. It also starts running behind. So if two of you have got it on two devices, one will know they've scored or they've had a goal scored against them way before the other one. If you come out of it and go back in at the same time and try and get them synchronised, no chance. No chance. But it's just such poor quality. And Amazon Prime was amazing. We were just sat there going, wow, look at the picture. There was no adverts on it. And they did a pre-match segment, which was about 45 minutes, I think. Proper programme, not just, you know, talking head yak, yak, yak. Proper piece. And then after the game, they did a piece after. And this thing was on replay if you wanted to watch it, which was just brilliant. I think it should just give the whole lot to Amazon. Just do it. Oh, Simon's not happy with BT. What have they done to you? Let me know. Right, let's go back up here. Yeah, is there a match in the Etihad?
Yeah, you can get BT Sport. It's called a monthly pass, and it's £25 a month. It says 20 games, but that's probably under normal circumstances. And it lets you watch the games without a BT Sport contract.
Thing is, if your team's on once, that becomes quite expensive.
Yeah.
Now, I'll admit, not as expensive as going, but they do fiddle around, which is what Simon's problem is. So they were showing motorbike racing clips, and then when you got the package, they only did it once. Brilliant. If there's a way to cheat you, they will. I don't know why they split it up. Well, I do. Money. They got more money. But it's unreasonable to expect somebody to have three cable packages to watch the games. It's ludicrous.
Now, I paid... What did I pay? I've got this Nout V thing, haven't I?
Yeah.
I think it's £5.99 a month.
He's no idea how much he's paying.
No, just... Yeah, it's £5.99 a month. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Mobile month pass, £5.99. And it lets me watch Sky Sports. But, one, it's limited to the phone only. So you can't watch on your iPad. And two, it only gives you one device.
I see, that's a pain as well.
Yeah. But at least it's working, unlike Sky Sports.
Sky Sports.
The Sky Sports app.
Even Sky don't know why the Sky Sports app isn't working. It is shocking. I don't understand how they do that, though, with the Now TV thing. Because Now TV, you should be able to watch on the Now TV box or on an iPad. So they must be artificially limiting that. Why don't they just accept they're charging far too much and be done with it?
Yeah.
So you've got lots of motorbikes, just not in HD. That is ridiculous. I know somebody who paid an extra to get HD when it came out, or 4K or whatever it was. And it was on top of like their normal entertainment package thing. And they had the sports. And it took their bill for Sky up to £129 a month. And I'm like, whoa. Because I pay £5. I pay £5 a month and that's it. And I'm not paying any more. If it goes up than that, I'm not paying it. That's just absolutely appalling. But he said, well, I get every channel. But do you watch every channel? There'd be more on that than a whole family could watch, I would have thought. You could only watch one channel at a time. I think you can record one channel and watch another. But unless you are literally doing nothing else with your free time, how is that worth it? Oh, Simon, that's a classic. You didn't want us to contact you, but I wanted to let you know about this offer.
You'd go mental if that happened.
I would tear him a new one. Oh, yes. Hello, Tracy. How are you doing? That is utterly ridiculous. In fact, isn't that illegal now with the GDPR
thing?
Probably. It must be. Because if you'd left and signed to say you didn't want to hear, writing's one thing, but ringing you, oh, no. I had all that with my dad, though, didn't I? What were we trying to cancel?
His credit card.
No.
His.
No, I haven't cancelled his credit card yet.
His da 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 thing.
No. It was. Oh, I know. It was his mobile phone. It was O2 with his mobile phone.
Was it?
And they just kept saying he's been offered a better deal somewhere else.
Yeah, upstairs.
I'm sitting there going. Well, yes, I suppose you could say so, but you know, I didn't. I said, he's died. Would he like a better deal? I'm like, he's dead. Oh, God, trying to get them to cancel it. Well, would you like 3 months free? He's still dead. But they couldn't seem to grasp it. What did you think the purpose of the do not contact was? That's often a very good question, Paul. You know, if I'd done that and they offered me a great deal, I think I would cut my nose off to spite my face and I would say no to it. But trying to get away from them, honestly. I mean, Dad was actually dead. And all I was thinking was, thank God I'm dealing with it and not Mum. Because it must be very difficult. I mean, I know what they're like. But the level of stupidity even shocked me. So just thankful. Ooh. What have you got? Jonathan's got a toy. And I need to see what it is. How's the crumpets? Let's have a look.
Oh.
Ginger nuts. Definitely ginger nuts. What are the others?
Coconut macaroons.
Are they?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
They look like Rocky Road.
Chocolate macaroons.
Oh, crumpets for breakfast. Good shout, Jonathan. Good shout. Oh, ginger nuts. I've not had ginger nuts for a while, you know. You can get gluten-free ginger nuts. But what are the others? We need to know. Anybody got a crumpet toasting shade card? Well, the underneath's brown, isn't it? The top just needs to be kind of crispy. Not incinerated, just kind of crispy. And then you've got the butter on it just right.
Chocolate pecan and banana. Send them our way, Johnny.
Shortbread. They're not going to be gluten-free. Ooh, shortbread.
Yeah, but I can take a bit of gluten.
You can, I can't. That's not fair. And the other ones are chocolate pecan and banana. Didn't think I liked pecan until I got that pecan ice cream, which was fabulous. They are gorgeous.
Is that
Jonathan.
Your mother?
What?
You won't like that?
No, I never ate nuts. What are those nuts called that are... Are they hazelnuts? No.
Macadamia.
No, the ones that you get on top of a walnut.
Walnuts. Top of a walnut whip.
On top of a walnut whip, yeah. Meaning it must be walnuts. No, I couldn't eat anything like that. No. But they... Oh. I go for the right and the left myself. Leave you the middle, Jonathan. if I could eat any of them, which obviously I can't. But still nice.
My watch has just reminded me I should have been at a Catanian dinner tonight.
What a shame.
Yeah.
But you're not.
No.
No, you get to be here with us. Lucky boy.
Yes.
Lucky, lucky boy.
Instead, yeah. I need to discuss Catanian calendars. I'll tell you the story of that later.
Oh, not more fiasco.
1 kilo of red onions turned into 10 kilos.
What's she going to... Oh, she's sending them back. I thought she might have an idea what to do with them. That is a classic. No, we've not had that one yet. We've had missing items. We've had items we didn't order, but they didn't want them back. So we acquired items we didn't particularly eat, but there you go. You still get the Cadbury's hazelnut jingle going through your head when you mention hazelnuts. Me too. That's a classic one from years ago. Oh, my. Was everything the right brand, Jonathan? This is the important question. Was everything the right brand? Because she's as picky as I am. And I'm not quite as picky as my mother. But don't mention Callard and Bowser to my mother.
No.
No, they upset her once and that was the end of that. And she used to love their nugget as well and she wouldn't eat it after that. Sainsbury's man didn't quite understand it either. Why two people would be ordering 10 kilos? Well, you never know. Maybe you could be making chutney with it. There's an idea. There was a saga over the tin tomatoes, though.
There's always a saga. There's a saga with us, isn't there?
The thing is, it's what they send in exchange that gets me. What was that one they sent you? Because it sounded the same.
Oh, it was the other week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Satsumas.
Instead of...
Sultanas.
That's right. I mean...
They didn't send it to me. They offered it to me.
Well, with me, I
would have politely rejected.
They give me a personal shopper. So when they start packing, the personal shopper gets...
Oh, a personal shopper, darling.
Yes, they get in touch and say, do you want this instead of this? And the default is no. So if I miss the message, then the default's no. One thing, they swapped. The next thing, they didn't. But yours was just a classic. I said, how do you get that? Sultana Satsumas, I mean...
Artificial intelligence.
And this is the problem. This is why we still need humans. Because even the most stupid human would not mistake the two of those.
To do the give us a clue thing. Sounds like...
Jonathan says they're both fruit.
They are both fruit.
If I was making a suggestion as to sultanas, though, I'd say raisins.
Yeah.
But to come up with satsumas, I'd offer satsumas instead of oranges or peaches. Just me, then. Just me, possibly.
Nougat.
Oh, is it? Is it? Oh, it was nugget in my mother's day, and I wouldn't try and correct her. Absolutely not. Substituted it for sparkling wine. They are idiots. They are absolute idiots. Mind you, why not? Why not? As long as they drink, there's no problem with that. They didn't swap your wine, did they?
No.
Your wine arrived and you didn't have to sign for it.
No.
That's all very strange, isn't it? Considering that's a legal requirement.
Yeah.
I remember ordering a bottle of gin for Rachel at Christmas. Oh, when it arrived, what a farce.
That was pre-COVID, though.
It was pre-COVID, so she knocked on the door and she starts going through these things. She said, I'm so sorry, I've got to ask you date of birth. And she's filling it all in, and I'm thinking, it's just a bottle of gin. And I'm clearly over 21. Oh, no, it took about 20 minutes. It was ridiculous. So when you said you'd ordered it, I thought we could be there all night while you're shouting across the gate. But clearly not. All organised. And I think that's the best substitution yet, that one. Sparkling wine for water. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So have we had any more news about WWDC? I reckon we're all newsed out with it. Do you know what they did last time, though? They started announcing stuff this week. Oh, I did read about Twitter rolling out voice tweets. So it's a new feature designed to allow you to tweet with your voice. Can you imagine the mistakes that'll
Isn't
happen that there?
What SRIRI does?
Can do. Can do. Oh, and the winners have got, they've got pins for WWDC already. And they've been banging on about diversity. Can we actually have some news about the tech? Oh, that was a weird story, wasn't it? Did you see that one, Mike? They're actually starting to stock, you know, the Velops that replaced their own airport expresses. They're starting to sell Aero, which is an Amazon product.
Wow.
In the Apple stores. How weird. Yes, voice tweets. You'll be able to talk to it. Just imagine the humour of some of the things it misinterprets. Let's just say that, misinterprets. But no, last time they announced a lot before WWDC and we all got really excited because there was computers mentioned, there was devices mentioned, and we were thinking, wow, they must have something absolutely amazing to release at WWDC. And they didn't. That was it.
Games demos.
Well, there was lots of games demos. Lots of games demos. I think these tweet things, it's not like you speak it in and it converts it to text. It's you speak it in and you can capture 140 seconds of audio. And then somebody can choose to play it in their timeline. Would you use that? I guess you've got that FOMO, haven't you? You'll see this button that says play and you'll be thinking, ooh, what is it?
Then you'll do it once for the novelty factor.
We all do things once for the novelty factor.
I went on Twitter once for the novelty factor.
I can't see that intriguing me. Paul says he's got enough trouble with autocorrect to start with. The thing is...
Johnny, lowering the tone.
AirPods, Jonathan. AirPods.
Anyway, there's times I go to the loo. Well, I haven't done for 6 months. Well, I have.
Can you clarify that?
At work.
Yeah. Right. You're not used the facilities at work for a while.
So I'll go in the loo at work. And, you know, there's people on the phone in there. They're having conversations.
Oh, please.
And you can hear them tap, tap, tapping away on their on-screen keyboard.
Oh, good grief. Tweet by audio. Yeah, we won't do that. Do you know who that would work fabulously for? It would be absolutely perfect. Mac Bites Siri.
Oh, yeah.
Save him typing it out. Mac Bites Siri would love that.
I've just had an email.
Yeah?
Thanks for attending the webinar.
Which one?
The one I just delivered.
Oh, that's good. Good job you were there. The Siris could have a conversation with each other. Yeah. Oh, it'd be fabulous. Liking that idea. But, you know, it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. It's as if Twitter are having to try too hard. Let's put it like that. But they never seem to do what we want them to do. They always seem to come up with something that's like, no, would never have wanted that in a million years. And that's what they come up with. But if Apple haven't released any concrete detail, maybe they've learnt from last time that we didn't enjoy it as much. Good night, Jonathan.
See you, Johnny.
Wanted to know how the shopping went. This has become a main topic of our conversation, hasn't it? How did the shopping go? Oh, this water's far too hot to drink.
Shall I go and get you a cold one?
I need some ice to put in it. Well, you know those big ice cubes? I think the one at the bottom's okay.
The one at the bottom should be frozen. It's got the ice in.
Yeah, that's not, though.
You take that.
Right, so I've got that. That won't make...
What's that?
Velcro ties that have got stuck to the towel.
Some proper ice.
Get me one of these with ice and some ice cubes, please. Right. I poured the water out and it's literally virtually bubbling warm.
We've turned our bed around.
Yes, we got very giddy and upset with ourselves and moved the bed.
Like taking the nick?
Lola's getting into severe trouble. This bed, honestly, there's that much of the inside missing. We're going to have to restuff it. But she's chewed that many holes in the bottom of it. Anything we put in is just going to come straight out again. Mike can't get past now without moving all of the stuffing she's pulled out of it. She wasn't happier earlier. That was a problem. We'd done the overindulgence at lunch. We'd done the walk. We'd done the dinner when we got back. We did the playing in the garden bit. And then we settled. Mike started his webinar, 6 o'clock, she started. So she got a talking to. But I said, if you need to go out, we'll go out. But when I got to the back door, the heavens opened and she just went, yeah, no. And turned around and went back in. So she got a telling off for that. CQ, CQ. Oh no, got disconnected. Can't get back in. We're still here. We're having great fun. Jonathan's had to leave, but the rest of us are having great fun. What? Platform were they using, Deb? Was it a Zoom webinar? Because I had exactly the same problem about 6 weeks ago. And Zoom instigated. Zoom had about, was it 300,000 people, 30,000? They ended up with like 3 million people. And they implemented this 90-day security plan. And all they've been doing is basically turning things on and off and testing people's reaction over the last 3 months. One of the ones that's killing Mike is mute all. And they released this 90-day plan and then they told you what they were going to do, either in detail, where they actually said, these are the features, so we're going to do this, this, then this, or in broader terms, where it will improve security and end-to-end encryption. Ah, go to webinar. No, that wasn't Zoom. But what Zoom had was a feature where, for security purposes, if you leave the webinar, you can't get back in. So it's the features sort of basically log in more than once or something like that, or log in after the room's been locked or whatever. And I said to Mike, this locking of the room business is all very well, but if somebody loses their connection, they're not going to be able to get back in. So we tried it. And it was like, yeah, we won't do that. And then I was in this webinar and it was the night we were having problems with the internet. And I got kicked out of the room and I couldn't get back in. In the end, I got back in, but only because I was trying that many times. Eventually, somebody must have been watching the wait room and let me in. But it's an option that if somebody leaves, then the room's locked and they can't get back in. Which sounds like a great idea, but it's not if you think about somebody losing a connection, because the connection drop could be anywhere from their end right through to your end. It could be a snafu along the line. They obviously hadn't thought of that issue of somebody's internet connection going and they can't get back in. The one that Mike's having huge problems with is this mute all. There was a mute all option, which is great for their meetings because they can have like 100 people there. But the unmute all is just as important because at the beginning of the meeting, they all say this prayer together. So he can still mute them, but he can't unmute them. He can request that they unmute themselves. Well, you can imagine what's happening here. He sends out a request to unmute them. They think they've been hacked and somebody's asking to talk to them. So that's taking a lot of patience, shall we say, on Mike's part. He's had to explain what's going on, but a lot of them just, they don't listen. They don't believe you. But yeah, it causes problems. Have I got some ice?
Right, one of those.
Whee! Right, let's pop that one in. And I've got huge ice cubes that I can pop
she
in.
She is mad.
Why, what's she done now?
Well, she likes going to sit outside.
Yes.
Under the
kitchen window.
The kitchen window. Well, yes. It's raining.
I know that and you
so
know
she
that.
She decided whilst I was going in and out of the freezer.
She'd come back in.
No, to sit outside.
It's oppressively warm in here. Anyway, Mayor used to sit under the window. I think there's something to do with the way the wind goes there. There must be, because that's exactly where Mayor used to sit.
True.
Isn't it? Oh, poor Deb got kicked out of a webinar.
Poor Deb.
But it was go to webinar. Not
you're welcome.
Not
you're
soon.
Welcome here any time.
Oh yeah, no one gets kicked out of here. There's something to do here. Apple are adding a special event video to YouTube, and this is before Monday. It lets people set reminders.
So I read about
the video is there, so you can set a reminder so you don't forget. But trust me, we're
not
going
likely to forget.
We're not likely to forget, no, because we'll all be in here having a rare old chat. And we might even have some news to chat about by then. So this video allows YouTube users to set reminders for the keynote, kicking off at 10 a.m. on Monday. They will alert YouTube users about the stream ahead of when it starts so it won't be missed. Do you remember when Apple didn't touch YouTube with a barge pole? And now look at them. Woo! But that's all it says. So not actually news of what's going on. I'm predicting this is going to be a long one. I reckon it'll be at least 2.5 hours. Because there's a distinct lack of news this week. Apple had a post on Twitter. If you like it, they'll send you a reminder. Yeah, they started doing that a while ago, didn't they? Because when you look at their tweets, there's no tweets there. They've got a special deal going on with Twitter. It's weird. And you can follow them, but you don't see a follow account or something. It's really strange. But yeah, they've got their social on, haven't they? Who remembers Ping? That was one of the worst ideas Apple ever had. Who had a Ping account? Do you remember Ping?
That was Apple's social network, wasn't it?
That lasted all of 5 minutes. I had a Ping account. I think I had about 2 people following me. Actually, they hooked it up to music. That was the problem. They forget that not everybody is as...
I had a Ping account. I had a Game Center account.
Oh, I had one of those, but I managed to nuke it. I was rather pleased. I didn't know you could do that, but I was playing around and there was this Game Center account. And I thought, I really don't want that. You know, and I was clicked on it. And there was a minus sign at the bottom. And I thought, not that that'll do any good. And I clicked it and boom, it disappeared. And I just stopped and thought, oh, that's cool.
How do I get it back?
I think there was a plus as well. And you can add a Google account. So I assume you can add a Game Center account if you want one. But I'll tell you what they are talking about. Let me know. Yes or a no to this. There is a rumour doing the rounds that Apple are going to bring out a games controller. It looks like, is it a Sony PlayStation thing? Whatever, I don't game. But it will be compatible with the Mac. Who's in the market to buy one of those? I'll go first. No way. You next.
No.
Anybody else? Anybody interested in that? I wouldn't have thought there was enough games to make it worthwhile. Clearly, I am a million miles off their target audience at the moment, which is quite surprising given how much I spend. No, not for Paul. Oh, Simon's a yes if they've got some games in there. Baking games. Can't see that myself. You know what you need to do, Simon, if they do? You need to bake a games controller. There you go. Who's interested in this Hey email system? Who's heard about that? You've heard about it because I mentioned it to you.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
It's one of those looks like invitation only that Malark is, doesn't it? Which, you know, where it goes viral because you can't get access to it. That kind of thing. But Apple are threatening to remove the app.
I read that this morning.
Because there's no in-app subscription. I didn't think that was compulsory, but maybe it is if you need a subscription and you would have to do it outside there. The moment it's only a threat, I believe. Hello, Mrs. Simon! So Deb says she's lucky a lot of the webinars are recorded and go and watch them later, but you miss the door prizes and the live Q&A. Oh, they have prizes! Live Q&A, to be honest, you get a lot of good information from that, don't you? They should leave that bit on. Simon's mum? What? What's going on? Simon? Is the entire family there? I'm loving this. Extended families. You know what? We will have to get on, don't you? Nanny Isaacs.
No, it's Mrs. Simon. It's Mrs. Simon.
Mrs. Simon. That's Simon's wife. But like she says, she sometimes feels like his mum. Oh, Simon, bring your mum in. Is she still with us? Could you bring your mum in? Mum was often on Magpies, you know, but only vicariously.
She was.
There was two particular stories that involved my mother. You got an idea what she was like? Oh, your mum's in Spain, that would do. No worries, Deb. She could be our Spanish correspondent. That'd work brilliant.
Yeah, seeing as from Paul from Spain's not been here for a while.
Our Paul from Spain must have real problems, yeah. Given that he left Basingstoke and he opened a bar in Spain, and then he got another bar. And of course, with this COVID thing, it must be pretty tricky. You couldn't handle the technical report.
I know how you feel, Simon. I know how you feel. My mother's just got the hang of Zoom.
That's scary. The laugh of it was at the beginning of this COVID crisis, it was, I don't want no stinking Zoom. 5 minutes later, can you set me Zoom up? I need it to get in the bridge club.
Yeah, but it's not that, is it? I do technical support via Zoom. Screen sharing.
Yeah, true. I'm going to need to think about that some point this week. With this calamity with the church computer. Soon. It's very difficult to troubleshoot something when you can't even see it. She's fab, we should get her on here, it'd be hilarious. Nothing wrong with that, Mrs. Simon. Brilliant. Good thinking, Paul. Excellent idea. Loving this idea, loving it.
So this hay thing, it's not just a client, is it?
It's a whole mail
ecosystem. Because you get a
the nearest thing
address.
To compare it to is like Gmail.
Yeah.
So you enter your email address and your password, blah, 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 but you get an at hay.com
yeah.
email address, don't you? And it's from Basecamp. So, I mean, they've got a 21-year history, Basecamp. But what got me was it's $99 a year. It only launched on Monday. And it's $99 a year. The reason there's no in-app purchase, according to this, is that the developers don't want to pay Apple 15 to 30% of the fees. But Apple's told them that customers need to be able to purchase a service inside the iOS app. Is that really right? I'm thinking about Gmail. Imagine that's a free system, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe they need a free tier. And then they could do it outside of it. But that's a bit tricky. How do you limit somebody who's got a hay.com email address? Apple has a long-running rule, apps can't link to outside purchase options, which is fair enough, isn't it? It's safety and security.
Is that deliberate?
What?
Well, there's a screenshot on their website of an email, and it says inbox.
I wondered about that. I saw that the other day, and I'm not sure. Right, Tracy hasn't heard about it. Oh, that's already there's a court case. Basically, it is Basecamp who have a project management system, and they have created an email ecosystem, but it is an entire ecosystem. It's not a client. And it's hey.com, which seems... I instantly thought hay, you know, hey, as in a bale of. And then that made no sense. And then I thought, okay, is it the other way around? But I then thought of heydoc.com. Yeah, which was no good either. But it is the equivalent of Gmail. So your email address would be at hey.com. They are claiming they have reinvented email, but they're doing it with that kind of you need an invitation thing. So people get fear of missing out and then they sign up for it. But like I'm saying, it's $99 a year, and that's quite a lot for an untrusted, untested system. You can, according to this, where is it? I've just read
that. No, that is deliberate. The inbox, it's not a typo. Everyone hates their bloated inbox. So Hay has a focused inbox instead. Your inbox is where important, idiot emails go from people or services you care about.
Crying out
no
loud.
Random receipts, no I rarely read these newsletters, and no special offers crowding out the stuff you really care about. Have Microsoft had that for ages with a focused inbox? And Google have, although I turned that feature off.
I'm just reading this and it says it's got a simple sign-in screen with no sign-up option, and tapping on Help Me informs them that there are no sign-up options in the app. So like Netflix and Spotify, it doesn't direct users to the website to sign up. So why is that a problem? That doesn't make sense. That does not make sense to me. It says it's not entirely clear why Apple is requiring Hey to provide an in-app subscription option when it allows Netflix and Spotify to decline to offer in-app purchases while still having the apps in the App Store. In which case, the difference between Netflix and Spotify is that Hey isn't established yet and they are. But you can't have different rules based on whether they're established or not.
Anyway, Simon wants to talk about Toblerone.
Ooh! Toblerone. There is Toblerone in the house. Never fear, Mike has Toblerone.
There nearly was Toblerone up here when I went down for water.
Oh,
I nearly brought a Toblerone.
You should have brought one up. Should have brought one up. Could have done a photo and everything. Yeah, we are talking about tech. I'm happy to try this thing, but I don't see how you can try it without paying for it.
You can. It's said somewhere.
For how long?
14 days.
And do you have an at hay.com email address?
Start a 14-day trial, no credit card retired. But it's invitation only until July.
Oh, there we go.
To get a code, email iwant@hay.com and tell us how you feel about email. Could be a love story or a hate story. Could be long, could be short. It's your story. It's up to you.
Oh, there's always one, isn't there? Apple will get their own way. They always do. Is it time for another email system, or are we not bothered?
No, because the trouble the Catenians are having over this calendar for the ones who don't have a Gmail account. Let's not that they pay 100 quid a year. They want to spend it on wine. Sorry, did I say that publicly?
Yep.
It's quite true. No slander in there.
The thing is, though, I mean, do you remember when FreeServe started? You and I were paying for internet access and FreeServe started and we were like, how is it free? That makes no sense. That can't carry on. But it didn't, did it? They got bought out in the end. But it set in motion in people's minds that anything... Knock it off. That
it's
anything...
Broken.
I don't care, stop biting your nails. Oh, can't get the staff. It set in motion in people's minds a free mentality. And we hear about that all the time.
I was running a training course at work 2 or 3 years ago. And I was talking about Skype calls. Because AZ had just introduced Skype to replace Link, which obviously now they're replacing with Teams. But I was talking about using Skype as a telephone. And the fact if you did a Skype-to-Skype call, it's free. So you use Skype to call somebody else in the company, it's free. But if you use Skype to actually make an external call, because most people had external dialing set up so they could use it as a normal telephone, it cost. And it was the cost of a normal call. Because BT, or whoever AZ get their telephony with, don't care that you're using a phone or you're using a computer. They just see it as a phone call. And this guy pipes up, I thought everything on the internet to do with phone calls was free.
How could anybody be so stupid?
And I didn't know what to say. I was speechless.
No, I mean, just
in
from
fact,
a...
I took it as a personal slight. I almost got quite aggressive with him.
Takes a lot to get Mike that way. No, seriously, I mean, just logically, don't they say you can't con an honest man?
Yeah.
Because if you think something's too good to be true, it probably is. There'll be a punchline somewhere. Now, having said that, at the beginning of things, there may be like an Uber special deal that you'll get. But no system that is perennially free is ever going to be perennially free. It will either have to charge in the long run or it will go under. And I can't understand people. I mean, I'm thinking of a guy and he's literally 59, 60, and he's like, everything on the internet's free. It's not. And then we get cross-questioned. Now, these people, like you're saying, they think nothing of spending on a night out over £100 on wine. I would say that. That's four bottles for a table. Yeah. They think nothing of that. But if I say, oh, yes, I've just paid £5 for that service, what for? And they go mad. That by me paying for what I want to use online, so it could be Notion, it could be Roam, it could be anything. By me paying for it, they take personal insult that if I pay for it, then one day they might have to pay for it too.
Why would you pay that much for your internet?
Oh, I've had that one as well. Quite. That would be funny. The people who ask that question have internet the quality of your mother's.
Yeah.
Mike's mother's internet is two tin cans and a rather scruffy ball of string. I mean, we can't get an O2 signal when we're at her house. So we have no option but to go on Wi-Fi calling. The chances of getting a call while you're there are slim to non-existent. Mm. Because the internet, it runs at about 8 on a good day. But it drops literally 10 times an hour. So your chances of uploading something or anything, non-existent.
I remember when I was there before Christmas.
That is a lovely word, Tracy. That is exactly what they take. Umbrage.
When I was there before Christmas, when I was looking after my dad, and I had recorded a video for work, because I was looking after him. I was going up on a Friday while she went to work, and I was looking after him, but I was actually working. And I'd recorded this video, which was like 100 meg, and I tried to upload it to our video hosting system, and it was just getting nowhere. I thought, I'm going to have to leave this and upload it from home.
Do you know, there were days I was sat there thinking, right, what can I do? Because the internet connection's so bad. But something like that, it would have been faster to take a pigeon and send it back here. Seriously, you could have put it on a pen drive and attached it to a pigeon.
Yeah.
And you could have uploaded it. We used to say that with Graham, didn't we? Mm. We were talking about when operating systems were first made available on the App Store. And it was Lion in 2011. And I remember the day.
Is that when it was free?
That was the first time it was free, I think, as well. Oh, no, the first one was paid for, wasn't it? Yeah. But it wasn't whether you paid for it or not. That was a secondary issue. Let's not get involved in that again. No, the issue... Oh, dear. If you hear any rumbling, that's thunder. No, that wasn't the issue. The issue was downloading it. Having made said purchase, I think it was around the 1999 mark, something like that. But you had to download it. And it wasn't huge. It was probably around 5 to 6 gig. And we had a connection of 10. But you remember Graham? I mean, he was on dial-up and he was literally... It was slow. So he'd made his purchase and we'd made our purchase. And it was like, right, who's going to get it first? And we're not talking like 5 minutes or 20 minutes. We're talking like 8 hours. So this thing, and then it would drop and you'd have to start again. And sometimes if you paused it and started again, it picked it up from where it was and it started to go faster. But it was like Russian roulette. Dare you hit the pause button? Because on other occasions, it would restart. You'd have to start again. But eventually I got mine, and I think it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I started it, and it finally finished about 7:30 at night. But poor Graham, his best bet, it was saying like it was going to take 3, 4, 5 days. And I said, do you want me to put it on a pen drive and post it to you, Graham? Honestly, it would have been faster. So we were just talking about that. You've got no chance of downloading something like that at your mother's, have you?
No.
But I was downloading it the other day. I downloaded Catalina. And by now, this stage, there's probably about another 3 gig on that. So I think it's just over 8 gig. And I clicked the download button. And I was probably expecting, you know, 10, 15 minutes. didn't even think about it, really. And I glanced at it. It downloaded in less than a minute. It took about 45 seconds. And I'm just sat there going, wow. I mean, I know our internet is now a terabyte, but wow. That was amazing. Oh, those were the days, weren't they? Well, at least we'll know this time next week what Tabby Cat's going to be called. That's the next version of macOS, which probably won't run on anything we've got, will it? How are you doing with your updates?
Fine.
Have you got everything off there ready to make your image?
No. I'm still trying to find where all this space has gone.
Well, if you stopped pCloud and you stopped Dropbox...
I've done all that.
Well, you're talking to a microphone instead of...
Yeah, I've done all that.
And what are you short of now?
About 300 gig.
No. Have you tried Disk Doctor?
No. No, I've got bits and pieces all over the show.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I've got the same issue with mine. Mine says it's got 610 gig of used space, so there's 390 free. But I've got another machine where it's barely used 100 gig, so where's the other 500? And I think when it's your main machine and you use it, it starts putting stuff all over the place and you have no idea. And I could well lose 200 gig and not even think, like, where did that go? I start to get concerned when it gets down to about 100 gig because then it does start to slow down a bit. Do you know one thing it could be that you may not even think about depending on the space that you've got allocated to it?
Mm.
You might need to clear the cache of Spotify.
Oh.
Because if that's set to 10 or 20% of your hard drive...
True.
My application caches are quite small, to be honest.
I cleared my caches with Cocktail, and that got me back, like, 2 gig.
That's not much, Mike. Right. No, my Spotify thing is 11.5 gig.
Where's that?
It's... Well, how are you trying to do it?
Is it in the settings?
You've got two ways of doing it.
Yeah.
You either clear the caches. Have you got Disk Doctor?
No.
You've got... You can do it in the client by setting it to something really low and then it'll purge it, or you can purge it manually. I actually have mine set not to purge that because when I download a lot of music, I don't want it to be overnight when I'm working. I don't want it to say, oh, I can't play this. So I do tend to download quite a few playlists. Didn't realise I'd got 11.5 gig. But even 11.5 gig, you know, 11.5 gig.
Is that the offline song storage?
Yep, that's the one. So you can nuke it from there. But I still think, you know, I must have something on here that I don't know about. That's all I can say. 500 gig. Although another thing you might want to try, Mike, have you got any applications? Have you looked at the size of your applications?
Yeah. The Affinity ones are like a gig.
Well, some of them, like I've got Install Catalina and Install Mojave, and they are 8.25 and 6 gig respectively. But if you've got things installed like Motion, iMovie, or even Office, they're huge. They're well over a gig. Do you know I've still got Aperture installed? That's over a gig. So my top 13 applications take up 35 gig.
630 meg.
What is?
My offline song storage.
Well, it's not that then, is it?
In Spotify.
Have you looked in... where else could we go? If you go to your library and you turn on... now, your library by default doesn't tell you the size. We're still talking tech, Simon. It's amazing, isn't it? By default, it doesn't show you the size of the folders. But if you use Command and J, that will bring up a little popover. And at the bottom, you've got three options. Use relative dates, calculate all sizes, and show icon preview.
Yeah.
If you put a tick in calculate all sizes, and you let it calculate all sizes, then you will get all the sizes listed, sort them by size, and then have a look at them. Now, bizarrely for me, my application support is reporting it's a terabyte. Well, if it were, the entire drive's only a terabyte. So it could be your iCloud stuff, your offline iCloud. Because my cloud documents is reporting back that it's 950 gig. My Google is this will be Google Drive, is reporting it's 112 gig. You know, and on that basis, you can see where it all comes from. Another thing is PhoneView. There's 13 gig of PhoneView backups. There's another 2.6 gigabytes of Spotify. TechSmith folder has got 3 gig in it. I'm assuming that is some kind of backups for all the versions. And trust me, I've got a lot of versions of all the Camtasia products. I've got 3-4 versions of Camtasia. 4 versions of Camtasia and 2 versions of Snagit.
Well, my mobile sync.
That'll be huge. Let's do a sort by
33
that.
Gig.
Right, let me have a look.
Mobile sync.
Mobile sync. Oh, yes. I did some work on mine. My mobile sync folder's 15K. But that's because I nuked them and put them on an external drive, which isn't particularly a great idea for restoring them. But I'm looking at that. I don't have anything to move. And yet I still have 600 gig of my hard drive that is unaccounted for. Well, if I take into account, say, 200 gig, I've still got 400 gig and I've no idea what's using it. But I can tell you it's not downloading the photos, which my other one was. I'm sure you all remember the hideous situation I found myself in when it was downloading all my mobile phone photos, despite the fact that was turned off. This is what it's like. No, I don't know where the rest of that is.
Well, I don't need 1.6 gig of rubbish in the WebEx folder.
Ooh, WebEx. Let me have a look. WebEx. Have I got rubbish in the WebEx folder? Don't actually attend that many webinars on this one. So 100 meg.
I'll delete those.
Oh, Mike, you really are scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and get rid of that stuff. You need gigs worth of stuff. Do you know I've got a folder here?
1.6 gig.
I know, but even so, you're not going to claim back however much.
38 gig on me Google. That'll be file stream.
Well, that's what I said. My file stream's 950 gig. Well, it says it is, but it can't be, can it?
No.
Because there's more room than that. So I think you'll find that's... This is why it becomes difficult these days to even try and do this.
Yeah, because file streams shouldn't be storing stuff locally.
File stream stores locally what you're working on, but I'm thinking about things like pCloud and Dropbox. Dropbox will report that you are using the amount of storage that you have available in your Dropbox. Clearly, obviously, you're not, but it doesn't report it back properly, so you can't particularly control it in like iCloud. But iCloud...
I've just turned a feature on which now reports the Dropbox files as 0 bytes.
Issue I've got is all the folders that I've got in iCloud that you have no control over. So one of them, and you all mentioned this to me, didn't you, when I said about Keynote, and you all said to me, why you've got stuff in iCloud Keynote? Yeah, that's not the best idea I've ever had. I do believe, let's have a look. It's thinking about it. Might think about it in my lifetime. No, it's not giving me that.
Oh, Tracy's come up with a good question.
When it comes to what gives you the best deal for your money, which would you choose to subscribe to out of Google Drive, Dropbox or pCloud? Whoa, that's a leading question, Tracy. If it's the best deal for money, then you'd look at the amount of storage and work out the cost, in which case I think pCloud's the cheapest. The problem with that is that those three services in particular, we subscribe to all three of them, they're not equal in terms of what they do. And that's the problem. In fact, Mike and I were only discussing this earlier when I had a problem. Here's the kind of issue that you get, which is also explains why I haven't moved my Keynote files from iCloud. What I need to do with my Keynote files from iCloud is make sure that they are all downloaded and then take a copy of them. because iCloud randomly just decides it's going to delete some from the local hard drive. When it does, and my backup takes over, I would have a fragmented backup. Hello, Kim. Between the three of those, what the situation we found ourselves in was I had a file. This file happened to be a Camtasia file. Now, if you don't use Camtasia, all you need to know about it is that a Camtasia recording is called a T-Rec. So the extension is T-Rec, and it's short for TechSmith recording. So I had this T-Rec, and to use the T-Rec, to do anything with it, you need to open Camtasia and create a new project, which is called a CMProj file, Camtasia project file. And you put your T-Rec inside that project file. But the project file, when it saves it, is a special kind of file that only Apple supports, and it's called a package file. Now, there are lots of different applications that use the concept of an Apple file system package as their file format. But obviously Windows machines have no concept of what that is. To them, when you look at it, it just looks like a folder. So, but I'm on a Mac and I've got lots of cloud storage, lots of different cloud storage. So I must have at some point put this file on a cloud service and then moved it back again. So I'm looking for something the other day, and this file came up as an option. And I look at it, and its icon is a folder. So I double-click to get inside the folder. Machine started to be quite slow, but it did show me the contents of the folder. And I'm gazing at the contents of this folder, and I'm thinking, I didn't put these here. I would never have called a file that. And what's this resources thing? And while I'm thinking about that, the dock starts bouncing. One of the icons in the dock is bouncing. And I glance at that, and it's Camtasia. And I thought, I didn't own Camtasia. What gives? But I realised what had happened. By moving this package file to a cloud service and back again, the cloud service clearly didn't support the fact that this was a package file. Because to its file system, it was just a folder with folders inside it, which caused a problem. When I copied it back, although it was now a folder, had the extension of CamProj and Camtasia was trying to open it, it couldn't because it wasn't a package file. So I'm like, oh dear. And I'm thinking, I don't know which cloud service I put that on. I can tell you that the way Hindenburg works, which is cross-platform and has none of this package malarkey, does not work well with Google Drive. So Mike and I took the decision that all of the audio editing would have to happen on Dropbox, where it does work nicely. Another thing to consider is applications that use something to synchronize. Ulysses used to only use iCloud, but now it will let you use Dropbox. But something like Scrivener will only use Dropbox. So when you say best deal for money, it's not really the cost of it that's as important as whether you would say, oh, well, X would be the cheapest. And then you discover it isn't actually supporting what you need it to do, or it's corrupting files. So I use it all for different things. I do pay for Google Drive, I pay for Dropbox, I pay for pCloud, pay for OneDrive. Do we pay for any others? I've got storage for free, quite a lot of it, on Box. And I've also got free storage on Yandex. And each one is slightly different. Just different enough that it makes you think about it. So it would be very difficult to advise just based on price. Let's have a look what 3 terabytes would cost on all of the services and do it that way. Now, Dropbox is Dropbox pricing. I think Dropbox is the most expensive, but I could be wrong. Right, Dropbox pricing. No, not that. The cheapest way to get some space is $9.99 a month, which is quite excessive, isn't it? £7.99 or $8.99, and you get 2 terabytes. 2 terabytes on Google Drive. Now, it's Google One, isn't it, for consumers? Which is half the price of what I would pay, I do believe. Google One pricing. Pricing and plans. How does it cost? Come on. It won't show me the prices because I'm logged in. And I'm logged in with a business account. Not good. I've got a sneaking suspicion 2 terabytes is around the same price. So between Dropbox and Google Drive, they're very similar. And the other one was pCloud. Now, pCloud, didn't we pay for a lifetime deal for pCloud?
I think we did.
I definitely don't pay a monthly thing with that. But there is a monthly one. So the monthly one is $4.99, $3.99, and gone. That's crypto, that's not that. Pricing. I don't see pricing. Oh, hang on. pCloud pricing. Let's have a look. Right. 2 terabytes for life, 350. There's no way we paid that. I think we probably paid about 180. But that gives you 2 terabytes of storage. Whether you went for pCloud on that basis, although they do let you pay on an annual basis. So it's £95 on an annual basis. So, right, They are all literally in the ballpark. So they are similar prices, Tracy. So they are so similar in prices, it would have to be based on features. And that would depend on what you're trying to do with it. Do you want it to be active space, by which I mean your active files are in the cloud and you are tunneling through to that cloud to use them? Or is it to be used as backup space? Is it sort of backup archive, stuff like that? Is it for photos? Let me know that. Yes. Can you tell me which, though? Because I've just given you 2 options. Backup or active files. I'm thinking possibly active files. If it's active files, I think I'd go for Dropbox. A bit of both. If it's active files, I'd go for Dropbox. I have active files on Google and I have active files on Dropbox. I have a handful of active files on OneDrive, but not much. OneDrive was where I was moving to. I was going to put everything on OneDrive, but there were 2 problems with it. One, I had Office 365 and they said you had unlimited space. And then they changed their mind, which gave me a huge headache. At that point, it was, well, what I've uploaded isn't what I would have uploaded necessarily if I had a limited space. I was trying to upload everything over time. So that was one issue. So they said unlimited space, but you don't. You actually get 1 terabyte. If you have 365 and you create another 5 separate email accounts, you can get 6 terabytes overall. But what you can't do is merge them together into be one set of 6 terabytes. So that was the first problem. Second problem with it was when you came to share a file, can you share folders in OneDrive?
Yeah.
But when you share a file and probably a folder, it puts them in this weird pseudo animated space that isn't actually part of your OneDrive. It's kind of an annex to your OneDrive. So you have your OneDrive files there. And then if you're looking for a file, think, where's that file? It would be in there. And then you start looking for it and you realise because it was a file that was shared with you, it lives in the annex. It's like everything lives in the house apart from the stuff that's shared with you, which lives in the garden shed. That, trust me, 10 times out of 10, you will forget it's in the garden shed until you spend 25 minutes looking for it, knowing that you've got it somewhere. And then you think, hang on, it's in the shared section. They have never upgraded that. So your shares are integrated. Now, Google Drive and Dropbox have. So I created a folder the other day and I was putting in it the installation files for macOS. We're talking huge. And I wanted to share them with Mike so he had access to them. And the beautiful thing with Dropbox is I don't have to have that data on my drive. I mark it as online only. So if I share that folder with Mike and I call it system admin, and he accepts the invitation, then he's going to see a system admin folder in the root of his Dropbox. But he can do two things with that that OneDrive would have an absolute fit with. One, he can rename the folder, and it doesn't impact my end of it at all. So he can independently rename the folder. And the second thing he can do, because it's Dropbox, is he can independently move it into a subfolder. And again, it does not impact my Dropbox at all. So it treats shared folders and files as if they're yours. You can rename them, you can move them. If you have edit access, if you don't, then they've got to stay in the root. But 9 times out of 10, when we're sharing something, we've both got edit access to it. And it just makes organising the whole thing a whole lot easier. Google Drive does exactly the same. And that's why the two of them, for me, are a better deal than OneDrive. I would use OneDrive for backup. But to try and choose between Google Drive and Dropbox, if they were equal in terms of functionality, we wouldn't have both of them. But we do. Dropbox, I've had for years, but I only started paying for it about 3 or 4 months ago. And the reason that we started paying for it was we created, if you remember from After Hours, an entire video workflow process in it. And we could, because Jonathan was very interested in this, but it was a paid for toy. If you have a free account, you can put comments on a video and an audio. But if you have a paid for account, you can add the comments at a particular time on the video or the audio. So when I'm watching Mike's videos or he's watching mine, there is an opportunity for it, for the comment to match the place in the video or audio. That saved us about £1,000 a year on the other alternative to do that. So that was when we got a Dropbox account that had 3 terabytes in it. But we'd already made the decision we would move to Google Drive for everything else. And that is actually working well. So would I want to have to choose between them? Not really. Having said that, if I had to, if Tracy's forcing me to do this, you can use Google Docs, Sheets and Slides with Dropbox. You don't actually need to use Google Drive to actually do that. So given that I do what I did with Dropbox and I could use Google Docs on there, I'd probably go for Dropbox. So when Dropbox were doing affiliate links, I paid about £20 worth of Google AdWords and got a large amount of extra storage for life, maxing it out. Genius. Genius, Simon. I think I'd got about 16.5 gig, something like that. I'm trying to help out, Tracy, and imagine that you were. It's a tough one. It really is. Because the other thing is, you know, what it does today doesn't mean that that's what it's going to do tomorrow, which is so annoying. Like, iCloud have added the ability to share a folder. Mike and I are going nowhere near that. Not after the problems we've had trying to share a single file. Not happening. I could not tell you how that works because we are not in the slightest bit interested. I have not got the time, energy, or will to test another system out when, from what I've seen, what it does so far, it's just going to be a bag of hurt. So we leave that one alone. But there's nuances that you don't even think about until you hit a brick wall with it. One of them was about 3 years ago, we headed off to the Munich Memorial and I recorded proceedings. You cannot live stream from Old Trafford. It's got a Faraday cage around it. The only way you're doing any kind of streaming at Old Trafford is to be on their Wi-Fi, which I did have their head of communications attempt to sort out for me this year. But we couldn't do any live streaming. The nearest place you can live stream is about 1/4 mile up the road. So I had this recording on my phone and we were going somewhere else this afternoon, this particular day. And I said, I'm concerned, you know, I've got no backup of this. It lives on this phone. And if this phone dies in the next, you know, till we get home, I've got a problem. So Maya said, well, upload it. And I'm thinking, good idea. I've got OneDrive and I've got Google Drive and I've got pCloud. You name it, I've got it. Box. They were all there. All right. So tried it with Box. You can't upload anything over 500 meg. This file was like 5 gig. I thought, well, that's not happening then, is it? The next one I tried was OneDrive. That wouldn't do it either. There again, there was a limit on the upload. I tried something else and there was... The limit wasn't on the upload per se. You could upload files that were bigger than I had, but not on the mobile app. And I've got all these apps in a cloud folder and I'm like, no, no, no. And I comes down to the last icon and it said Yandex. And I thought it's going to be worth a try. And I went to it. It was something like I got some free space years ago. And that was the only one that I could upload to. Now, the circumstances were on mobile via the iOS app, but that was the only one I could upload to. There's no way I would have thought I'll just upload this to Yandex. I'd have tried all of the others first. So you use Notability and GoodNotes. You'd like to have sync via Dropbox or Google or Box, but it's iCloud only. Yeah, I've given up on GoodNotes because it's Catalina only on the desktop. So I've got major problems with GoodNotes. Notability, I'm okay doing it however it does it. That's what I've moved to. So I just moved to Notability and left it. I do have Notability backing up to Dropbox, which annoys me intensely because it puts a folder in the root. It's one of the very few things that has a folder in root. Yep, and that backed up today. I didn't back it up, backed itself up. I do choose, though. That's another thing you would need to think about. It's all very well having 3 terabytes of storage, but you may not have a hard drive that's big enough to take that. So you would need Selective Sync or Smart Sync, and they're not the same thing. Selective Sync lets you choose what synchronizes with your hard drive, but it gives you no indication whatsoever of the other contents that are up on your Dropbox that you've decided not to synchronize. Smart Sync is your friend. That will show you all of the data, but it will only download what you tell it to download. The rest of it, you basically see a pointer file. So I can see everything that's in my Dropbox, but there's only 3 folders that are actually downloaded. All of the rest live in the cloud, which keeps it off my hard drive. So there's a lot to think about. But iCloud... I'd certainly have it backing up, Tracy, put it like that. But no, they're probably not. Let me have a think. Where's mine? Where's Notability? Does it not give you a... I must admit, I didn't look. It was a case of GoodNotes has broken. I need to get something working. They've just added a lot of nice new features, though, haven't they? So let's have a look. Drag and drop on... it doesn't, does it? Although there's a manage accounts. Is the manage accounts bit just to upload stuff to? Storing your notes in iCloud keeps them up to date across all of your devices. If you delete a note, delete it from iCloud and your devices. So what's the point of the other accounts then? Interestingly, on this one, I'm logged into to Google Drive, but I'm not logged into Dropbox, so it's not backing up from there, is it? Oh, VMs, they do take up a lot of space. Jonathan put those on a keyring, which was a grand idea.
Till he left the keyring at work.
Till he left. No, he didn't, because he had his car key on it. That was the plan. We were trying to outwit Jonathan. Possibly the ability to have things in the cloud would benefit you, but then you've got to think about backing them up, etc. It's a tough call. As you've seen, Mike can't find out where this space has gone. I've
just cleared the Firestream cache using an Automator plugin script.
Dangerous beans is what he means. Go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, but I crossed my fingers and sacrificed a chicken and everything's fine.
Don't tell Lola you sacrificed her chicken. So how much did you get back?
Well, 30 gig.
No, it's not worth having, I suppose.
I'm now trying to clear my mail cache because that's almost 5 gig and I don't use the mail app.
Oh, that's a good call. I inadvertently opened the mail app and it downloaded all my mail, so it could be that as well.
Well, it says, first try and rebuild the mailbox menu. So I did that, and now it's downloading everything.
So. It is. It's really tough. I mean, we're at the point where literally Mike was going out to do his webinar, and I said to him, this problem that I've got with this Camtasia project, where I'm going to have to convince the system it's a package, I said, we need to look at the cloud services and work out which one's doing it. And if we're going to use that one to back things up to, we're going to need to zip it first. Obviously, you can't work with it like that, though. So that's why I said Dropbox, because I think Dropbox overall, Dropbox works in a better way for working with active files.
Yeah, I mean, I've got zips of Camtasia projects and ScreenFlow projects from Munich from past years.
Mm-hmm.
And they take an age to unzip.
Yep.
If you want to use them.
Yep.
Take like 10 minutes. But, you know, the thing is, you don't know what to get rid of.
No.
I mean, because things in all is in all weird places.
There is actually something I was thinking about doing a video about this, which was design systems for Affinity Publisher. And the same principle holds good for many, many other applications. Actually creating a design system. So not just thinking about, oh, I'll put a textile here and I'll put that there. An entire system soup to nuts. So you've got that external to all of your projects. Because as you've found, if you've got Munich projects for 5 years, you come on to year 7 or 8 and you think, where's that asset? You've got to go back and open all of the other files to try and find that particular logo or a piece of audio or an overlay or something. So if you externalised all of that to start with, then your backups would be more independent than they are at the moment. Mm. Another thing that works really well with Dropbox is the file requests folder. You can create a folder that people can upload stuff to. That's what I've been doing with the Deacon, who's been uploading the mass recording every week. And the rationale behind that was, I think, have done that with Google Drive. But I was thinking, what's he likely to have access to and what's he likely to already have installed? And, you know, Dropbox comes to mind and it's been working. I mean, I did expect, I'll be honest, the first week, I expected it to be a complete farce. It wasn't. He managed to do all of that from an iPad. So I think Dropbox probably edges it over all of the others, but it's not cheap. I just wish they had another option that was like, you know, 500 gig or something, which they used to have. And they then went semi-corporate. A lot of businesses have done that. Box, I don't think anymore even bother with average consumers, do they?
No.
Their prices are corporate level prices.
Mm.
And the storage that they want to give you, while it might be great to have that much storage, I certainly don't use anything like 3 terabytes. On Dropbox, but the ability to receive those file requests, the ability to nuke stuff off the hard drive, but be able to see it and download it on demand. I'd call it download on demand and not use my storage space. And the ability to annotate audio and video, those are the features that mean that I would pay for it. I must admit, things like pCloud are basically just backup as far as I'm concerned. I definitely don't use that for live files. But Google Drive, I do. But like I said, if I had to choose one, I reckon it'd have to be Dropbox. Because if I literally could only have one, I'd need it to be Dropbox to support Scrivener. It's the only way the thing synchronises. And I have been thinking, you know, maybe I could just reduce Scrivener to not using it on my iOS devices. And that what that leads me to do repeatedly is if I'm not using it on my iOS devices, I tend to use it less on the desktop. So I've used it traditionally for putting notes in for videos that I'm creating. And I've got 2 videos on the go this week. And I thought, why don't I just put that in Notion and be done? And I'm sitting in Notion looking at a blank page thinking I can't do this. And it was because it doesn't have a kind of... It has an outlining ability, but it doesn't have the binder where that's where the outline is. The outline has to be in the page. So I must admit, I then went back to it, which just proves the point that if I want to be able to get to that script on the road, it's going to have to be on an iPad, and that's going to have to be on Dropbox. This is how Dropbox has you, isn't it?
Mm.
But the other thing is, I put settings in Dropbox. So settings for applications like Alfred and a whole range of others. And I decided I was going to move them all to Google Drive. Yeah, that didn't end well. So they all went back into Dropbox. It's to do with how the drive is mounted when the system boots. So Google Drive does not get mounted quickly enough for the applications to appreciate that their configuration and settings are available. Whereas with Dropbox, it does. So with Dropbox, I've never once had a problem. But with Google Drive, when the same files were on there, the applications were saying, I can't find the settings folder and stuff like that. So they all work in a fractionally enough different way to be very annoying. Very annoying. But I must admit, I do think Dropbox is ludicrously priced. But that's the price. No, no chicken was harmed, Kim. Don't worry. She's not been squeaking chicken today, to be honest. No. She's hot and bothered, isn't she, like we are?
She is.
Now the temperature's gone up again. So it's about 38 degrees in here. But it's raining. So whenever this has happened before, the thunder and lightning clears the air and it's much fresher. And this week, it's not. It's been doing this on and off all week. Hopefully it'll have calmed down by the weekend, but I'm not confident. Let's have a look at the weather for the week. I'd like it to be about 12 degrees, if possible. No, it's 17 today, then 19, 21, 19, 21, 21, 24, 22 and 23. And a week on Wednesday and a week on Thursday, it's got more thunder and lightning. So basically, we're stuck with this weather until it goes away, Mike. The next change will probably be snow. You need more ice cream cake. Oh, we had ice cream cake last night, Kim. She loved it, didn't she?
She did.
And tonight, she was a very lucky girl tonight. Mike cooked fish tonight, salmon. And whenever we have salmon, he always gives her. And it's the same size plate as ours, isn't it? But with it kind of broken up, spread all over it.
Yeah.
So she gets to have her tin dog food and then she gets to have some salmon. And she's now settled down quite nicely because she's had her salmon. But if we had some ice cream cake, she might be tempted up here later. So I think that's where what we'll head off and do. Head off and have some ice cream cake. I don't know what we're going to do when the ice creams run out. She's a lucky girl. She is. She is. But she's so worth it. She's so adorable. So we'll head off then, shall we? Have we some should. Treats.
Yes.
Hey, liking that idea. Okay then. So it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.